God, we just thank you for what you're going to do tonight. I just pray that our hearts would be open, my words would be few, and that you would do the work, and it would be absolutely amazing and endless. Amen. Oh, I will. All right, guys, so we're going to jump right in here. I know Pastor Reed has filled me in a little bit. I haven't been here in the past few weeks, but he's been preaching a series about our relationship, our new covenant relationship with Christ. And he's talked about being adopted with God, by God. We are his family. About putting our faith into action, about pursuing the promiser, not just the promise, and staying connected to the vine, because Christ is the vine, and he's our source of life. Amen? All right. So, obviously, with all these things about our relationship with Christ, the thing that we really want to focus on is not just having a relationship with Christ. I mean, that's great. We want that. But getting the most out of it, going deeper, like, how do we actually do that in this Christian walk? Yes, Billy. Done. If I could drop this mic and not hurt it, I would have done it. But I know. Do we have a spare? Just for future reference? Okay. No, I'm not going to drop the mic. I just can't do it. I don't have any. I got my water and my iPad. I'm not dropping any of those. All right, we're jumping back in. We can go on this all night. I mean, but we're talking about getting the most out of our relationship with Christ, right? So nobody here wants to have a shallow, unsatisfying relationship with anybody, let alone Christ, right? I mean, it just doesn't make sense. So tonight we're going to talk specifically about prayer. Okay, we're going to dive into the Word, and I figure, if we want to know God, we need to go to the source, right? We need to go to the Bible. We believe here that the Bible is the Word of God, that He teaches us all we need to know from that, and so we're going to get right into it, and I'm excited to find out what the Bible, what Jesus tells us about prayer. Okay. So first off, I want to talk about a little bit about, and Mike's got some slides for me. We can make sure the sound is on for the first one. I want to talk about what prayer is not. We're going to have a little fun with this. So prayer is not groveling. If you could play that first video, just a little bit of fun here. Okay. We don't need to play it again. So first off, prayer is not groveling, okay? We are adopted into God's family. We're gonna get into that a bit deeper. But we don't need to come to God as Pain and Panic here. I don't know if you guys know this movie. It's just a fun one, Disney movie. But we don't need to come to God like a servant begging to his master to be accepted and to be heard. We are his children. He is our father. Second, prayer is not a Facebook update. I kind of like this one. I didn't actually post this. I just kind of put it on my wall and then took a screenshot. So, and I don't actually talk like this. I just thought it would be fun. Yeah, I did not post that. That's something it's being said, right? Loves, that's something? Okay. I didn't just make that up, right? Okay. So if you pray like this, hey, that's a good starting point, At least you're talking to God. But there is so much more to our prayer life. There's so much more that we can get out of it if we go deeper, if we really open up our hearts. And so we're going to get into that a lot more. Next, prayer is not, and this is kind of a powerful picture, so I'll explain it, but prayer is not, and only when you're desperate because God's too busy. So put that next picture up there. Okay, and somebody that's thinking about suicide, that's a powerful picture. Not everybody who thinks about suicide is just because they haven't prayed or for what, there's a lot of different, but maybe sometimes Some of those people, they didn't want to cry out to God because they thought, you know, maybe he's just too busy. He is God after all. And that's just not true. Jeremiah 1 says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." That's a loving God. And he's desperate to know us. He has known you your whole life, and he wants to know you more. Okay? Next, prayer is not a specific set of words. I don't have a picture or anything for this. It's not a specific set of words that you have to say exactly right. It doesn't have to be artsy or flowery or grand. It can be. If that's what's coming out of your heart, that's how you express yourself, that's great. But it doesn't have to be. Matthew 6:7 says, "When you pray, don't babble on and on as other people of other religions do. They think their prayers are answered only by repeating their words again and again." This is something that some of the other religions, when the Bible was written 2,000 years ago, they would say these words over and over and over and over again because they thought that if they said them enough times, they chanted them enough times, that would get their God to do something. Our God doesn't do that. He loves us. He doesn't make us jump through hoops or go through all these different things to be heard. He is waiting to hear us right now. Okay? So those are some of the things that prayer is not. Because you see, this thing we call prayer is so much more. It's an intimate, organic, beautiful communication. And simply put, it's getting to talk to God. It's simple. There isn't a whole lot to it. It's getting to talk to God, and he wants to listen. Christian life with no prayer is kind of like picking a best friend and then never talking to them again. It's kind of crazy. So I just met Nathan for the first time tonight. Seems like a really great guy. I've decided that Nathan is my new best friend. But, woo! Okay. But we're not going to ever talk again because that makes sense, right? No. Okay. When you become saved, when you accept Jesus Christ in your heart, he becomes your Lord and Savior and your best friend. But if you don't pray, if you don't talk to him, how are you going to get to know him? Like, you're not. Just like your best friend, Nathan, I want to get to know you. I'm going to talk to you. I'm just, you know, cool, man. It makes sense, okay? We can learn so much. We can grow so much from praying. The Hebrew people have a word, and it sounds something, I might butcher this because I'm not Hebrew and I don't speak Hebrew, but that's okay. It sounds something like chefala, okay? They kind of have a really like breathy, yeah, I know. I'm working on it. They have a very breathy language. And so this word, I'm not going to try it again, it literally means transformation. Their word for prayer literally means transformation. You see, as we pray, it isn't just a one-way communication. It's not just sending out a distress signal that's never going to get heard or answered or returned. Prayer is two-way. As we open up our hearts, as we pour out, as we commune with God, he pours back into us. He pours his life into our hearts, and that transforms us. That's amazing. It's amazing. So, the question becomes, how do we pray? Okay. How do we really understand how to communicate with God? Jesus saw this as so important, he actually took the time to teach his disciples specifically how to pray. And I know we probably all heard this, but if you could get out your Bibles, your iPhones, your iPads, your whatever, or Androids, there's probably a lot of different phones and stuff in here. Get out something with the Bible. I want you to turn to Luke chapter 11. Like I said, we love our Bibles. We love getting into the Word. And so I want you guys to get into it with me. Okay? So as you're turning to Luke chapter 11, I'm going to explain a little bit about this. So it says that Jesus is praying. Jesus himself is praying. And the disciples come up to him and ask him to teach them how to pray. Now, a little context here. The disciples were Jews. And part of the Jewish culture was prayer. So it's not like they were foreign to this. It's not like they saw Jesus praying and they were like, whoa, what is that? That's pretty cool. Like, No, they knew how to pray. In fact, a big part of their culture were these form prayers that they would have, and they would recite them daily as a devotional type of thing. But they saw Jesus doing something so different, so amazing, that they said, Jesus, all this stuff that we've learned our whole life about praying is meaningless. Teach us how to pray. You got to think that's something amazing. So you don't need to turn here, but Jesus looks at them and starts the Lord's Prayer. And in Matthew specifically, there's different, you know, we call the synoptic gospels. There's different accounts of the same thing in some of the different ones. In Matthew specifically, the account of Jesus teaching the prayer says that Jesus looked at them and said, this then is how you pray. Now that word how is really important. Because Jesus didn't say, this is what you need to pray. He didn't say, you have to say this exactly. He said, this is how you pray. This is how you connect with God. That's really important. Oh, amen. So this is what he said, starting in Luke chapter 11, verse 2. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily breads, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. That's a good prayer. And I know we've all heard this probably a lot of times. I mean, if you've been around church, or even if you haven't, you may have heard this. It's a pretty common prayer. It's said in a lot of different contexts, a lot of different uses. But we're going to really dive into this and try and figure out, when Jesus said this is how you pray, what he was actually saying. What is this Lord's Prayer that we've heard all through our life? What does it actually mean? So the first line, he's saying, our Father. That's beautiful. Right there. That probably just blew the disciples' minds. They're used to this strict religious culture where you recite prayers and God is like this distant figure that you have to obey every law. And Jesus opens it up simply by saying, our Father. Wow. We are adopted into his kingdom. We are his sons and daughters. He is our Father. And he says, our Father in heaven. He adds that little thing on there. And right there, Jesus starts describing this beautiful, this beautifully complex relationship we have with our Creator, where in the same instance, he is our loving Creator that listens to us. And at the same time, he's the Creator of the universe. Jesus approaches him with this boldness of being a son, but reverence of him being God. It's just beautiful. It's beautiful. And he opens this. This is the beginning tone of how we should pray. He goes on to say, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, God. And these are what scholars call the first three petitions. Now, a petition is simply saying, just you're asking for something. Okay? And these first three petitions, they're all to God specifically. Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. And the central point of these first three petitions is just telling God, I give up my control. God, I am starting communication. I'm starting my relationship right here with you by telling you, you're God. I know there's a lot of things in our life where, you know, you control when you get to work or when you get to school, because you control when you wake up, when you set your alarm. You control whether you eat during the day because you put the food into your mouth. There's a lot of things we control. It's true. I mean, you know, we have to do things. You control when you go to the bathroom or take a shower. Nobody tells you to do that, I hope. We won't get into that. But the point is that the first part of this is all about perspective. There are things in our life that we do control. And then there's our life overall, our decisions that we make, our journey as Christians. And sometimes we need to take a step back and get some perspective and say, God, you are in control because, and I'm willing to give you this because you are our Father. You love us. You have good things for us. Amen? So this is all about approaching the throne of God with confidence because he's our Father, but saying, I realize how small I am, God. I realize how big you are and that you've put everything in its place. You've created us and yet you love me individually. That's huge. When Jesus says in John 14:14, ask anything in my name, I will do it. There's a little bit of a implication there where God, Jesus is kind of saying like, yeah, you can ask anything in my name, but like, you need to have the right perspective of who I am and my will for your life. That's important. That's why Jesus opened this prayer, the Lord's Prayer, with perspective. We're figuring out who we are in God. So the next three sections are what they call the last three petitions, or second set of petitions, whatever you want to call it. And I want you to notice something really special about these petitions we're going to talk about. It says, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So all of these petitions specifically have to do with us, right, as the believers. But the interesting thing about them is that these are things that Jesus has already done. So the question is, why would Jesus teach us to pray, how to pray, and ask for something that he's already done? It's kind of interesting. You see, in Matthew 6:28, it says, why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? Give us our daily bread. He's done it. Colossians 3:13. Tells us to forgive because he already forgave us. Forgive us our sins. He's already done it. James 1:13 tells us that God doesn't tempt us because evil is not in God's nature. Lead us not into temptation. So why would Jesus teach us to pray or show us how to pray these things that he's already done? You know what I think? I think it's because prayer is for us. God doesn't need it. God is perfect. He doesn't need us to pray those things. Prayer is a reminder, and I want you to listen to this. Prayer is a reminder to us that God already has our best in mind. Not a reminder to God to be mindful of our best. Just think about that. Prayer is a reminder to us that God already has our best in mind, not a reminder to God to be mindful of our best. We don't need to remind God to have our backs. He's got it. He has already had all these scriptures. He's already doing those things. He's already providing your daily bread. He's already providing everything you need. He's already forgiven you and delivered you. That's what God has done for you. But when we pray, we get this perspective about God. You are the creator of the universe, yet you love me eternally, and you've already done these things for us. Wow. That's awesome. We are human. There's no getting around it. We're fickle. Sometimes we forget. And we need to be reminded that God is big. that he's amazing, that he is our Father, he loves us, and he's already done all these amazing things. You remember I told you about that Hebrew word, a Hebrew word for prayer that means transformation. As we open up our hearts, as we pour out, as we say, God, I need these things. I need these things. We ask for comfort. We ask for help. We ask for love. Those are real things. I think that if you do that, you're going to find that he's already there. He's already there doing that, and that transformation begins to take place in our hearts as we realize how much he loves us and how much he has done for us and he's never left us. It transforms our heart and grows us closer and closer to him, which is what we want, right? We want to grow closer to God. I want to. I know you guys do too. Prayer is simply that. It's growing closer to God. Some things take us a little while to realize it's happening. When you pray, it doesn't always happen right away. I know this. He doesn't always shoot up a signal flare and say, hey, check this out right over here. This is what I've done for you. I've already taken care of. It just doesn't always happen like that. But we can be assured that he's listening and he has our best. Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. We know that when we pray, he's already doing those things and he's already working together for our good. As we pray, we go closer and closer to a God who is already as close to us as he'll ever be. You see, God doesn't have a problem connecting with us. He created us. He knows us completely. It's not a problem there. He knows everything. He desperately wants us to connect with him. And it's our choice. We can choose to pray and grow closer. Amen? That's it. Like I said, as I was learning this, it was blessing me. It was causing me to step out and want to grow closer to God. So another aspect of prayer that I really want to talk to you about, and this is something really interesting. This is what we call biblical exegesis. I know it's a big term, but it's talking about looking at a passage really, really carefully. And when you look at the Lord's Prayer really carefully, when you exegete it, notice that Jesus never says me or I when he's talking, okay? He always uses us, our, or we. You look at it, it's kind of interesting. Now, prayer isn't always about everybody. We don't always pray corporately. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane was speaking directly to God. He was praying to God and said, God, if you would take this cup from me. That's a personal prayer. We have those all the time. We personally pray to God. But there's another thing that Jesus is modeling here in the Lord's Prayer, and that's a corporate prayer. It's praying as a body. And there's something that's so powerful when we do that, when we come together and we encourage each other. As we seek God and remind ourselves of his goodness, as we draw close to him with others, it helps others to draw closer to God. We can do that. We can have that effect on people. Prayer is for us and for the body. We need both. We had an awesome time earlier just praying together. We encouraged each other. We prayed for each other. We prayed for Jenna. And she prayed for other people. And we all prayed together as a body. And man, it was awesome. I was super blessed. It encouraged me. It encouraged me and helped me to grow closer to people and to God. So I encourage you. I want you to know this. I encourage you, pray. Pray by yourself, on the road while you're driving, at work, at home, wherever. Prayer doesn't have to be, setting aside 30 minutes. I'm going to pray now. Okay, good. You don't have to do it like that. Prayer can be anywhere. I'm just, you know, I'm taking a shower. God, you know, I'm just thankful for all your goodness. They're so thankful for shampoo. Thank you. You know, like, prayer can be anywhere at any time. God is not so rigid that you have to do things a certain way. God just wants to know you. He just wants to connect with you. Isn't that amazing? So pray when you're by yourself. Simply just talk to God. I do it all the time. Be real. Be authentic. And pray together. Pray when you're with friends, at meal times, whatever it is. Pray as a group and just invite God to come be a part of your group. It's pretty simple. It doesn't have to be a crazy prayer like, okay, guys, let's get in a prayer circle. Okay. All right. Just say, God, we're having fun right now. We're having fellowship. We're having a community. We want you to come be a part of this. God, we just pray that you would be in our midst right now. That's simple. And just let's know, let's God know that you want him to be a part of what you're doing. There's a lot to be said for that. Pre-service prayer. I'm going to hit on this because I think it's really important. Come to it. It starts at 6:30. And I guarantee you that if you come to pre-service prayer as a body, as a group, as you start praying together, you start opening up your lives. Today we just talked about needs that were in our lives and we prayed for each other. We encouraged each other. Man, that built a lot of unity. It was so powerful. And I promise you that if you guys want to see your youth group, see you guys go somewhere, you want to do something amazing, you really want to impact this city, you want to impact your workplaces, your homes, your schools, come together and pray. Encourage each other. Lift each other up. Get to know one another in a real, authentic way. I guarantee you it's going to change the dynamic. It's going to change your unity. It's going to help you to go so much deeper. It's so good. 6:30, pre-service prayer. Just come and be open. So I want to leave you with this. I know this is, I wanted to do a short message and I think I got it. So we're going to have the band come up here and play, or just to see, I don't know, whatever she wants to do. But just for a few minutes, I just want to pray. And whatever that looks like for you guys, I just want to take a few minutes to just practice this, to actually put it into action. I don't want to just throw something out there and be like, hey, go do it. Like, let's do it right now. Why not? Yeah. So they're going to play a little bit, and I just want you to think, just pray. Doesn't matter how it looks or whatever, pray to God. Pray with somebody or for somebody. Whatever that looks like, just pray. And I want to leave you with a little quote here from a guy named Philip Yancey. He wrote a book called Prayer, coincidentally enough. It's a good book. And he says, many of those I talk to experience prayer more as a burden than as a pleasure. They regard it as important, even paramount, but they felt guilty about their failure, blaming themselves because they didn't pray. Now, I want you to think about this. I know I felt like that. And you may feel like that too. You may feel like, man, I can't even remember the last time I prayed. You know what? I do that too. We all do that. God is not a God that's so distant and so far away that he's like, well, you hadn't prayed to me in 3 months. Screw you. That's not our God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. You know, Jesus came and lived as a man. He knows our weaknesses. He understands our shortcomings. So you don't need to be guilty or ashamed or blame yourself for a lack of a prayer life, for a lack of a communication with God. It happens to us all. We get busy. But what we want to do right now is reestablish that. And it's simple as this. God, you are my father. And I'm still your son. Nothing changes that. Or I'm still your daughter. Nothing changes that. And I can still come and approach your throne of grace boldly, because you made a way for me to do that. It doesn't take anything special. All it is reconnecting with God. That's it. He's waiting so desperately for you to just talk to him again. That's it. There's no preamble. There's no building up to it. There's no deserving it. There's no getting worthy enough. There's no praying the right prayer so that he starts to listen. He's ready and willing and wanting to listen and be a part of your life right now. All you have to do is pray. Talk to God. It's so beautiful and it's so amazing. It can happen at any time. So let's pray. And then as the band plays, I want the lights to come down. I just want you guys to feel free to pray. Just connect with God. Say, God, I'm just so happy to talk to you again. Or pray for somebody. If you have a word, pray for somebody. Encourage each other. God, we just thank you so much. I thank you so much that you never leave me or forsake me. That no matter what, I cannot outrun your goodness and your grace. That you're desperately wanting to know my heart and listen. Thank you, God, that you are the God of the universe, that you want to know me so personally. You want to be involved in my life. You want to be involved in all these people's lives. God, thank you. I just pray right now. I pray right now that we would connect with you in a new way, and it would keep going deeper and deeper and deeper, that our prayer lives would just explode, that we would be knit into your will, God, not our will be done, but that we would learn to hear your voice and learn to hear your will for our lives, God, that as we pray more and more and go deeper, you teach us what this Christian life is all about. You teach us who you want us to approach, who you want us to talk to, what you want us to do from day to day. God, you teach us and transform our lives in such a powerful way. You are desperate to do it because you are desperate for your children, for our hearts. I just pray right now that that would go deep, that transformation, these prayers would go deep to our hearts and change and change us, that we would become so knit into your will, into what you're doing, God. Individually and as a body, I thank you so much, God. You are so good. Amen. If you guys can, I don't know where you're at right now, but find somebody, take a few minutes and find somebody and pray for them. If you're already doing that, you keep going. But I really want to take some time. I really feel like God wants us to encourage each other, wants us to build each other up. It was so strong in the pre-service prayer, and I know that God wants that for His people. So take some time, find somebody, and just pray for them. Find out what they need. We all have needs and wants. Find out what's going on in their life and just pray for them. Encourage them. Tell them you love them. Tell them God loves them. Okay? Thank you. Guys, we just want you to know if you need to go at this time, if your parents are here, you feel free to be released. But if you're praying, you still want to press in, you're having a great time encouraging one another, connecting with one another, the band's going to keep playing for a few more minutes, and we can just continue to do that. Continue to press into God's presence. Continue to get to know one another. It's such an important time. So I love you guys. Be blessed. If you need to go, go. Or if you want to stick around, love you. Have a great night. If you guys, whoa, that's loud, sorry. If you guys are still praying over somebody, keep doing it. You can stay in that. It is 9:15, so if you need to go, you can go. We love you all. Thank you for being here. We'll see you next week. Again, if you're still praying together, keep praying.